1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 7 this morning. I'd like to begin by reading that. George, good to see you here today. Been a tough week. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Last lesson we talked about verses 5 and 6 and the subject of humility. And I said I was proud to speak on humility. And then I thought of another reason why I was qualified to speak on humility. Mark reminded me one time that if you take the first letter off our last name and the last letter off, what you're left with is humble. So who better speak on humility than somebody who has humble right there in the middle of their name? And I'll say today that I'm a little anxious to speak on anxiety, but I'll try to do my best this morning. I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands that many who heard me speak on humility last week would say they've made great strides in that area this past week. And humility is something that should always be increasing in us, whereas anxiety is something that should always be decreasing. Here's how J.B. Phillips translates verse 7. He says, "You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties on Him, for you are His personal concern." And that is quite a thought. And from verse 7 this morning, I would like to develop three thoughts. I think we have a three-point outline in verse 7. I'd like to first talk about the character of anxiety, and then talk about the counter to anxiety, and conclude by talking about the comfort from anxiety. I think all of those three things are right there in this one verse. Let me talk about anxiety in general to begin with. In the environment of Peter's original readers, they were believers in the country we now know as Turkey. Many of them were new converts. They had been living as pagans or as Jews, and they had come to Christ. They were under apostolic teaching. But what they suddenly discovered is that in becoming a Christian, they were now in a political and social environment that was hostile to them. That's kind of the way it's becoming increasingly in our society. More and more we, here this morning, people like us, are being identified as the problem in this country. And we're being targeted in various ways. And that's what these early readers found. They were criminals simply by becoming Christian. They were accused of terrible things. One of the things the Romans accused them of in the Roman ignorance of the Lord's Supper, the Romans accused the Christians of being cannibals, eating flesh, drinking blood. And so these early readers lived under the constant threat of persecution. They were living on the San Andreas Fault. They never knew when the big one would come. And the big one came when Nero first, and then Domitian and others after them, Roman emperors, made the persecution of Christians the official policy of the Roman empires. And so the people to whom Peter was writing, when he said verse 7, "Casting all your care on Him, for He cares to you," but they had all kinds of things to worry about. They didn't know if they were going to be alive the next day. They didn't know what was going to happen to their family. They didn't know what was going to happen to their children. They didn't know if they were going to live long enough to be married. Sometimes people worry about that. "Lord, let me live long enough to enjoy the blessings of marriage." They didn't know what was going to happen to their business. If it was going to be shut down, if they were going to be boycotted. And recently, I think especially, Christians have undergone a phase where our worries and anxieties have been through the roof. Do I need to remind us of how scared we were at COVID? Not just scared of getting sick, but scared of one another. Scared that you might give it to me. You're scared I might give it to you. Scared to the point of paralysis. Scared to the point of cutting ourselves off from not just people, but from brethren. We're scared at the business climate, inflation going through the roof. When I saw I was paying 30% annual percentage rate on my credit card, I paid it off the next day because that's just stealing money. People worried if their retirement is going to be wiped out. We're scared by all the new technology. I was asked to edit a paper this past week about what's coming to medicine. Some experts had gotten together and projected what's coming to the world of medicine, going to the doctor, being treated, surgery. And essentially what they said is, we're not too far off from the point where you'll never see a doctor. You'll talk to robots on the phone, like you talk to robots now when you call to pay off your phone bill. Robots will answer. Robots will advise. Robots will determine. And when I say robots, I'm talking about computers and the artificial intelligence built into the computers that they program into that. But they'll decide your treatment. They'll decide what you need. They'll prescribe. You'll never see a doctor anymore. They'll be as rare as hen's teeth. And so all of that and more is cause for worry. I heard recently one person said, if olive oil comes from olives, and if peanut oil comes from peanuts, I'm worried about where baby oil comes from. We can always find something to be anxious about, something to worry about. And what worry is, in its essence, is fear, right? Fear is what worry is. Fear is a common aspect of humanity. The French existentialist Sartre said that people are fearful because of what was in their past and their parents. Marx, Karl Marx, not Groucho, Marx said that people are fearful of what's in their present and the people they're around. Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, said people are fearful of what's in their future regarding God and eternity. So past, present, future, somebody can always find something to fear, to worry about, to be anxious about. Now let me give you a definition of anxiety or of worry. Worry is when you find it difficult to live in the present because of something in your past or something that may be in your future. I'll say it again. Worry is when you find it difficult to live in the present because of something in your past or something that may be in your future. Now, Peter uses a word that is translated care in our Bible, but that word, that term care, can mean a number of things. A care package is a very good thing, but Peter's not talking about a very good thing when he talks about casting your cares on Him. The word that Peter uses for care is a word that means to divide, to cut in two. And it's the idea behind what James was getting at when he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. To be double-minded, as opposed to being single-minded. Clear goals, clear aims, a clear path on how to get to where you go. A double-minded man is the one who doesn't know which way to go. Maybe I should go this way. Maybe I should go that way. The word schizophrenia, which did not exist 125 years ago, was invented by Freud or somebody. The word schizophrenia is a combination of two Greek words that literally mean a split mind. And that's close to what Peter's talking about here when he talks about having a double mind. And so anxiety is that which divides our thinking, that which splits our mind, resulting in uncertainty. instability, like James says. We're just so uncertain about how to live our life, about what to do, about what needs to be done. And that makes life very worrisome. The English word worry, the English word, translates a word that means to choke. And that's what you feel like when you're anxious. You feel like somebody is taking you by the throat and trying to choke all life out of you. When you fear life is being choked out of you, that only fuels anxiety. So anxiety is the fear that results from having a double mind, a divided mind, a split mind. And let me tell you something. More people have lives that are disrupted by anxiety than by addiction. More people live troubled lives because of being anxious than because they're an addict. And we sometimes think that since we're not addicts, we're somehow superior. We're a better person to those who are. It's better to be a worrier than to be a dope head. Better to worry than to be an alcoholic. But both of those sins are specifically mentioned by Christ, specifically dealt with in the New Testament, and both are condemned. And there are more people whose lives are troubled and disrupted because of anxiety than because they are an addict. And everybody here understands anxiety. There's no one who's here this morning, I'm sure, who's not known fear at some time, up close and personal. Maybe you've had a panic attack. People have panic attacks mimic having a heart attack. And all that a panic attack is when fear reaches up and grabs our soul by the throat and tries to shake life out of us. That's anxiety. Now, how are we to counter that? This is the second point. How are we to respond to when our mind's divided and our life becomes unstable and we're troubled? You know, when you go to the dentist, you can sit there with your hands on the chair, or you can fold your hands and put them in your lap. It doesn't matter whether you're like this, white-knuckled, or like this. The drill is going to drill on. Life is going to go on whether you're like this or sitting there calm. And so how can we get from the white-knuckled grip of the dentist chair to where we're calm, cool, and collected? What do we have to do to get to that point? Well, Peter says something that's important. He tells us to cast our care on Christ. That's the counter. Cast, here are the 3 points of this point. Cast all. Casting. Cast all, casting. Let me first talk about the word cast. Cast all your cares on God. Peter doesn't tell us to ignore or deny the existence of problems. He wants us to accept reality. He does not want us to deny that there are problems we encounter in life. That's not the counter to anxiety. This word translated cast only appears in 2 places in the New Testament. This verse is one of them. It's a word that means to make a deposit. Now we all know something about making deposits because we bank. We have a banker. We have a bank where we have deposited our money. When was the last time you were up all night worrying that the bank might not be taking care of the money you put in it? I have never lost a night's sleep over that. That's never been a worry. Now I put my money in the bank because I believe the bank will do a good job at protecting my money, and I just go on about my business then. And this word means to make a deposit. The only other place this word appears is in Luke chapter 19, verse 35, on what the religious world calls Palm Sunday, when Christ is going to make his quote-unquote triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we read that some of his followers took their garments and put them on the back of the donkey. They deposited them. They placed them on the donkey. And the donkey bore those garments, and Christ sat on top of them. Care, casting all your care on Him, is to make a deposit with someone. And Peter says, cast all. Have you ever watched garbage men work? Garbage truck comes down my street. Now they've got the thing that hooks in, you know, and lifts the garbage can up. But here's the way they used to do it. They'd have a garbage man on the truck. And the garbage man, when he got to my garbage can, would get off. He'd go over. He'd take the whole can and dump it in the garbage truck. He would not take one piece out of the can at a time. He would take the whole can and dump it, casting all your care on Him. Is that what you've done? I sometimes have trouble doing that. To cast all my care on Christ. I want to kind of take one piece at a time. Lord, deal with this. Oh, now you got to deal with it, you know. But Peter says to cast all your care on Christ. And the third thing I want to call attention to is the word casting. Casting all your care on Christ. Now, this will thrill you to learn this. Casting is a participle. It indicates continuous action. You don't just cast. You are casting continually, putting your concerns with Christ. And here's what I really want you to see. In verse 6, we have an imperative. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." How do we humble ourselves? Participles explain imperatives. That's the way grammar works. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's an imperative, a command. Well, how do you do that, Lord? Baptizing, ing, a participle, and teaching, ing, a participle, them to observe all things I've commanded. Imperatives are explained by participles. So what do we have in verse 6 and 7? Verse 6, we've got the imperative. Humble yourselves. How do you do that? By casting your care on God. The way we humble ourselves is by dealing with the issue of anxiety. The extent of our humility is measured by the amount of our worry. And I hope you'll let that thought sink in. To not put our cares on God, to not deposit our problems with Him and let Him handle them, is an act of pride, not humility, that questions the reliability of God. And to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. God knows all about our children. He knows all about our business. He knows all about our health. And whatever our situation now, it has occurred under His mighty hand. Nothing has happened to us that's outside of His power to deal with us. And humility is when we accept God's sovereignty over our life, and when we accept what He allows in our life, and instead of worrying about what is coming, we allow Him to handle it. Peter does not say, cast the causes in your life on God. He doesn't say, cast your sickness on God. He says, cast your care, your anxiety. It's not the sickness we throw on God, it's our worrying about it. It's not the loss of money we throw on God, it's our worrying about it. It's not our kids we throw on God, it's our worrying about what's happening to them that we cast on Him. The counter, the answer for anxiety is to realize God's mighty hand is ruling in our life. And while we may not be rid of the conditions that God allows to come to us in life, we can refuse to be burdened by the divided mind, by the double-mindedness, by the choking that the devil is trying to do to us, by what weighs us down, by what we have to struggle with, by what distracts us. That's how you deal with anxiety. You deposit the problem with God in the confidence that He can handle it, and whatever He does in our situation is going to be the right thing. And when we do that, there's a reward to that. There's a good result to that. This is the third point. We've looked at the character of anxiety, the divided mind that makes us unstable, emotionally unstable, spiritually unstable. We've looked at the counter, the cure for anxiety, to deposit our problems with God. And the comfort that comes is found in these words, for He careth for you. We're not to have cares. We're to cast our cares on God, but God has cares, and I'm His care. He care. If it can be said without blasphemy that God worries about anything, He worries about me. If I can say without blaspheming that God's anxious about anything, Peter says, He is anxious about me. To Him, I am a care. And again, what J.B. Phillips said about that, let me go back and read that to you. What J.B. Phillips says is that you are His personal concern. You, in your situation, with whatever realities of life you're dealing with, you are God's personal concern. He knows you. He knows me better than we know ourselves. We're not in the situation of those prophets of Baal back in 1 Kings 18. They were trying to get Baal to send down fire from heaven, and they did everything they could think of to do to try to get his attention. They prayed, they cried, they jumped around, they cut themselves with knives. Look how sincere we are, Baal. They did all of that to try to get Baal's attention. They were afraid he was asleep. They were trying to wake him up. We never have to approach God. That's not the kind of God we approach. We are the center of His attention. We are His personal concern. Let me give you a psalm. Turn to Psalm 121. If you struggle with worry and you need to be reminded that you are the center of God's personal concern, the 8 verses of Psalm 121 are words you need to familiarize yourself with. I'm going to read from the King James. Verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Baal might, but Jehovah doesn't. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He cares for you 24/7, night and day, no matter where you are. He cares for you. And until we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, there is going to be no help for our anxiety. Did you hear that? Until we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, we're not going to have the peace that passes understanding. We're not going to have the comfort that God is trying to give us. Now, you might go to a doctor and ask him to help with your anxiety, and he might give you a pill that does something to your nervous system that deadens it somehow for a little bit, but any pill the doctor gives you is not going to touch your soul, and that's where anxiety lives. Not in your nerves, but in your soul. And only believing in the Word of God, in the promises of God, can give you help for your soul. Here's how much God cares for us. He gave us a cross on which there was a cry, "Father, forgive them," and on which there was a certainty, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's the kind of care we need. If you suffer, most people suffer in silence. If you suffer in silence, talk to someone, especially to the Lord. Go to Psalm 121. Read that every day. Read it as often as you need to read it. Be reminded of where our comfort is found. And what will come to you is increasing peace. As you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and allow us to deal with us in the way that He knows best.